2017. This is the Roland Unified School District. Call Dr. Mitchell.
Certainly. Angelina Pride.
Here.
David Malkin.
Present.
Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen is not present. He will be joining us as soon as possible. Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any items to be pulled or corrected on the agenda?
From staff perspective, there is a correction to the agenda. It is on item 9, D as in dog, 6, contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Casa Colina, Comprehensive Outpatient Rehabilitation Services. The date for the renewal agreement currently says September 14. That should be struck, and it should read July 1, 2007 to September 30, 2018.
Does that need to be pulled or just corrected on the agenda?
Just corrected on the agenda.
And then I have one item that was asked to be pulled from consent. That's number 9B3. Any other items? Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of Tuesday, June 13th, 2017, with the modifications as stated?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Are there any public comments on closed session agenda items only, Dr. Mitchell?
There is one.
Okay. Roy Humphreys? I'm sorry, it's for closed session. Meaning? Get it on the recording.
Here's this one for now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, folks, some of this short and sweet, and I understand this is probably a historical first that somebody from the public comments in a closed section situation. But we have a question. We, the public, and I've conferred with other persons as to contract negotiations with a superintendent here, and I believe you extended her contract for 3 years just last year. So I'm just doing the math. I'm not real good at that sort of thing, but it seems like, what are we doing here? Unless you've come up with some newfound money, and this is what I entitled this, Show Me the Money. And then we have the contract negotiations with the teachers union. The last time I heard, there's a very tight budget situation in this district, and again, people want to know, where's the money? Where's the money coming from? You haven't got the funds to record your public meetings for the benefit of the community which you serve, yet somewhere you found all this money to be thrown, especially that three-year contract extension.
Stick to closed session item, not the recording. Well,
don't talk about
the recordings and stuff.
I read that. It says closed session right there.
Right.
And then it has the items listed. Did I read that correctly?
Right, but recordings doesn't have anything to do with closed sessions, and you were mentioning.
Yeah. So those were two closed session items that I had to comment on, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. If there are no other comments, we will recess to closed session at 4:38. We return to open session at 7:22 p.m. I'm sorry we were held over a little bit to make it late for those of you who waited. Next, would you all stand for the flag salute? I get to lead tonight, and I just would like to remind everybody to think about nothing in life is free, especially freedom. And follow me. Now I'll turn the meeting over to Mrs. Healy for special recognitions. And there's nothing to report out from closed session.
Is that better?
There we go. Let me try this one. There we go. So tonight we have some recognitions. Last time we had the opportunity to recognize many of our Roland athletes, and this week it tends to be Nogales Week, so we're going to try that instead. Our first group, unfortunately, many of the students are playing Passing League, and so they are not here, but I still want to read about them. So our first group is the Nogales High School Boys and Girls Track Team. Tonight we recognize the athletes from the Nogales High School Boys and Girls Track and Field Team. This is their first year that the Noble Boys and Girls Track Team competed in the Montview League. The Nobles were able to win the Boys and Girls Championship in track. The boys were undefeated, and the girls shared the championship with Azusa and Sierra Vista. The boys were also able to win 7 individual titles, and the girls won 6 individual championships. It was a successful year for the Boys and Girls Track Team and their hardworking coaches, Mr. Chapman, Mr. Chavez, Mr. Salazar, and Mr. Alley. Please join me in congratulating the Nogales High School Boys Track and Field Team for their coaches and their coaches on their outstanding season. Next, if I could have the Nogales High School Boys Varsity Tennis Team come forward. So all of our teammates and our coaches, and I believe Ms. Moscow is here, and Mr. Nassouf, if they could come forward as well. And is our coach here? Oh, there she is. Okay. Looks like a kid. Oh, whoops.
They're on the other side, though.
Yes. Okay. So the boys' varsity tennis team ended their season second in the Montview League with a record of 8-2, their best season in the past 4 years. The boys placed a wild card match for CIF, defeating Valley Christian 12-6, but unfortunately lost to Arrowhead Christian 7-11 in the first round. 4 seniors placed in the Montview League finals, and an additional 3 were recognized as Montview Athletic Scholars. Co-captain Derek advanced and competed against the best of the best in all of the divisions at CIF Individual Tournament. Congratulations to the Nogales High School Varsity Tennis for a wonderful season and building the team to what it is today. Congratulations to Derek Paul Rosario, Jose Desis, Yonahan Gutierrez, Arthur Nacio, Jose Navarro, Ivan Martinez Cano, I can't read people, Wei Zong, John De Pedro, Noah Gomez, and Jalen Canoso. Congratulations to our boys' varsity tennis team and their coach, Shania De La Cruz. We get all the paparazzi shots? There we go. All right, if I could have the Nogales High School Boys Varsity Baseball Team come forward. And their principal and their assistant principal, please. And then it stopped. It's like a bad battery or something. So it's not acting. I don't know what that is. Now you stand there. I hate coming out. Check it. Okay, congratulations to the Nogales Boys Varsity Baseball Team and Coach Montanez and Assistant Coach Ruiz. The Nogales High School Boys Varsity Baseball team finished the season with a 27-3 record. They are the Montview League champs with a record of 14-1. Their team reached the semifinals, where they eventually lost to Tockwoods High School 5-3. Senior Jonathan Gordado was the MVP of the league. Stephen Ordicia, sorry, I'm really bad typing. Juan Gordado, Mike Quiano, I'm going to have to practice these. Joe Robles, Michael Landeros, and Christian Flores were all named first team Montview League. Jonathan Gordado has signed his letter of intent to attend the University of Arizona next fall. The team broke 15 school records along the way. Jonathan Gordado pitched 4 no-hitters and has been nominated for All-American in Baseball America and Collegiate Baseball. Please join us in congratulating the Nogales Varsity Baseball Team on an outstanding season. Oh, there's more. Lots of paparazzi. Congratulations to our baseball team. Okay, I have one more award for tonight. I have one more award for tonight. If I could have Mildred Mayorga come forward. Mildred Mayorga, Nogales High School student, is a 2017 national recipient of the Alexander Hamilton Scholar Award. Hamilton Scholars are high-achieving, service-oriented high school juniors who embody the Hamiltonian principles of character and leadership through service. As a Hamilton Scholar, Mildred will participate in a five-year program beginning with a leadership weekend in New York this summer. Hamilton Scholars have historically attended the most prestigious colleges and universities and have been awarded scholarships from Coca-Cola, Gates Millennium, and Questbridge. Mildred is a current Ivy Scholar, a top 10 Nogales High School student, and is a Pomona College Academy for Youth Success Scholar, a three-year-long, year-round, academically rigorous program awarded to top students in Southern California and held at Pomona College in Claremont. Please join us in congratulating Mildred Mayorga for outstanding achievement in receiving the Alexander Hamilton Scholarship Award. Congratulations to Mildred.
That's it. Usually we have a school here with kids to give to tell about their schools, but first tonight we're going to do it a little differently. I want to thank the Association of Roland Administrators for providing the refreshments for tonight's board meeting. And now, is John Stalmont here? John? Okay. Oh, didn't see you, John. John's going to provide a brief highlighting of the work of the district leadership team.
Well, good evening, President Evenkamp, Board, Dr. Mitchell, Cabinet. I'm John Stalmont, and I serve as President of the Association of Roland Administrators, or ARA. The Association of Roland Administrators is a chapter of Region 15, the Association of California School Administrators. ACSA and ARA are professional organizations that promote and support student success for every student. Our current board consists of Dr. Despard, who is past president, Mrs. Bardona, president-elect, Mrs. Dulau, membership, Mrs. Riva, secretary, Dr. Munguia, nominations and awards, Mr. Perez, oratory contest, and Mrs. Moscow, every student succeeding. For this year, we have supported students with every student succeeding, where we recognize a student who has overcome tremendous odds in an effort to succeed. That was Leslie Morris from Nogales High School. An oratory contest with Carl Flores, again from Nogales High School, winning that. We give scholarships of $250 each available to the three high schools as well as race. And we are currently in the process of supporting and promoting our administration with the Administrator of the Year nominations for ACSA for the coming year. We've also partnered with ARE and CSEA to showcase our volunteers with the Golden Apple Volunteer Reception. And as an organization, we seek support of our district's priority of promoting and supporting leadership. We believe our partnership with our teacher and classified associations are an example of what makes Roland unique and demonstrates the leadership provided by our board and Dr. Mitchell. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we'll have the superintendent's report, Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I wanted to just share a few comments as we begin to conclude our 2016-17 school year. Last week, I spoke about summer programs and graduation and our 995 graduates. I wanted to share some different information this evening. One is that our Nutrition Services Department will sponsor once again the Seamless Summer Option Meal Program for children. That free meals are available to all children in the community, 18 years of age and younger, at selected dates and times at the following school sites: Alvarado Intermediate, Giano Intermediate, Hollingworth Elementary, Hurley Elementary, Nogales High School, Telesis Academy, Roland Elementary, Santana High School, Shellen Elementary, and Yabara Academy. This Friday, June 16th, is the deadline for community to provide input via an online survey regarding the new Oswalt Academy campus project. A community input meeting was held on May 25th at Oswalt Academy. Key input areas include classroom and playground design, school program needs, traffic, and safety. All submissions are being shared with the district leadership team and our architects to help guide the design phase. The link to the survey can be found on the front page of the district website as well as the Oswalt Academy website. We'd also like the community to mark a few important dates in their calendar as we look towards the 17-18 school year. The first day of school next year. We haven't quite finished this year, but we're looking at the first day of school for next year is Monday, August 14th. So our students will be returning to school for the 17-18 school year on Monday, August 14th. On Friday, September 8th, is Roland Heights Day at the Fair, and our community receives a special $8 admission tickets to the fair for Friday, September the 8th. And the coupons are available in a variety of languages, and those funds that are raised from that help support free Fair Kids field trips for our students. And our Roland Council PTA has also been instrumental in helping to make sure that that happens for our students, as well as our transportation department. Also, we have our 45th annual Roland Heights Buckboard Days Parade. It'll be on Saturday, October 21st, and the theme is Discover Your Adventure. Lastly, I'd like to congratulate two district employees. The current assistant principal at Yorbita Elementary, Amy Grigsby, was named earlier in the month as the principal at Yorbita Elementary. So Amy Grigsby, effective July 1, will be the principal at Yorbita. And then also current assistant principal at Roland High School, Greg Perez, at our last board meeting was named the principal at Santana High School. And so both Greg and Amy will be at the board meeting on July 27th to be introduced formally to the public. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Next, we'll move to public. Oh, sorry. I skipped that. I guess they didn't like what you said. Okay, let's keep moving here. Next, we'll have a report from the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee. They're going to give their annual report. And I'll ask the members of the committee to come forward and introduce themselves. And whoever's going to do the report, feel free. Now it's working.
Sorry. Put it up here or what? No, I think that might be better. Good evening. just introduce myself first. Okay. I'm Harry Peterson. I'm the chairman of the Bond Oversight Committee. This is Wendy Zhang. She is the is also in the committee, and this is a cooperative effort to write the thing, and it's going to be a cooperative effort tonight to present it. I'll do the introduction, and Natalie will give the bulk of it, and Wendy will do the Okay. Okay. So, if I'm just going to go ahead and begin. Good evening, Dr. Mitchell, board members, staff members, and you, the public, especially you, the public, because this report is to you. And besides the fact that I have very bad eyesight, I'm having an allergy problem, and my eyes are watering and everything. So I'm just going to wing this. I'm going to give this introduction in my words, okay? And I'm going to start off with a brief history of, just read? I'm sorry, I'm doing this in my own words. I have problems, okay? Back where I was. A brief history of how and why we have a bond oversight committee, and it really starts at the end of World War II, when there was massive expansion, building tracts of houses. They had to have schools. There was a lot of, the prices of houses kept going up. The taxes kept going up and everything until there was protests. And in the 1970s, they came up with a another thing to try to correct that. They passed measure, or not measure, Proposition 13, okay? And Proposition 13 limited your taxes to 1% of the sale price, and they also made it a requirement to have two-thirds majority in order to pass a bond. So that made it very difficult for the next 25 years. You couldn't hardly get a bond passed. And schools were becoming overcrowded, becoming in need of a lot of repair and everything. So finally, in the year 2000, they passed Proposition 39, and Proposition 39 was a thing where they agreed that they would lower the voting from two-thirds to 55%, still had to have the same tax rate, if they would do certain things. And the certain things that they had to do is they had to have an independent audit of the bond committee. They had to have a bond oversight committee. And so those are the requirements of why we have that. And so then the voters approved what they call Measure R. There was two of them, one in the year 2006, one in the year 2012. The one in 2006 was for $118 million. The one for 2012 was $148 million. And there was, on the 2006, there was something like 22 schools. So there's 25 items on there that the Bond Oversight Committee is responsible for looking at and making sure that the money is spent the way the voters voted on. And then there's another 16 items on the 2012 measure. So collectively, they're both known as Measure R. So that's how we got here, and that's what we're doing. We're making sure that the or trying to make sure that the money is spent the way the voters approved on the two measures. So currently we have five members on the CBO, on the CBOC, Citizen Bond Oversight Committee. We have one from the seniors organization, that's me, Harry Peterson. We have one that is on the PTA and a parent of somebody that's in the committee, or in the district, I'm sorry, and that would be Wednesday, Natalie Marino, and she belongs to the PTA and has a student in the district. And then Wendy Zong also has a student in the district. And we have two other members that are just general members, and that's Mike Wong and Nat Ornelas. Okay? So anyway, I pretty much explained what the purpose is of this. So at this point, I think I'm going to hand it over to Natalie. Okay.
Like Harry stated, we do take on a very strong task of making sure that the parents and the taxpayers, as long as the stakeholders of the district, make sure that their tax funds are being spent wisely and within compliance of the California Constitution. So one of the things that we had changed this year is we now have amended our agendas to regular scheduled meetings to include monthly updates related to construction issues, project progress, completion and financial updates to provide greater transparency and inform and information to the community bond oversight and the public. The CBOC attended the grand opening of the Nogales Revival Project. It was wonderful to see how the community and students responded to their updated campus. The last time the CBOC was on that site is when the project was being punch listed and furniture hadn't even been moved into the new classrooms. The CBOC will continue its site walks this next school year to monitor to monitor the upcoming construction projects throughout the district using bond funds. The CBOC regularly meets with the construction manager from Ledesma and Meyer on the various phasing plans, construction updates, and budgetary matters of the Roland High School project. At every meeting, they have provided updates on the construction and planning so that any potential issues that could arise are dealt with before they become a financial liability. They always answer our questions, and there are times where we put them through a firing squad, explain things thoroughly when clarification is needed, and whenever additional reporting or information is requested, they have always provided it in a timely manner. The CBOC met with the architects of Zimba and Prieto to discuss the Oswalt project and the future construction of the F and the H buildings of Nogales. We were there at the stakeholder meeting that was referenced at Oswalt, and we've been made aware that there has been a traffic study, that a traffic study has approved. This will ensure that our school neighbors will be able to go in and out of the area during construction. The accountants of Nigro sought the bond's input for the 2015-16 bond audit by interviewing our committee chair. The community bond oversight is secure in the knowledge that the input from the CBOC will be continued to be used to determine the parameters for the upcoming 2016-17 financial and performance audits. The Nogales Revival Project had a change order of 14%. The CBOC demanded an extensive reporting as to the who, what, why, and how this had happened. The CBOC has been walked through the reasoning and necessity for each one. It is nice to say that even with this setback, the project was still completed on time and under budget. The CBOC has been questioning and reviewing how RUSD will see to that there will not be a repeat of this percentage. The staff and the construction manager have constantly been reviewing and upgrading the plans so that any of these issues are handled before construction begins. The Bond Oversight Committee continues to work with Nigro and Regro to develop a financial report to close out the 2006 bond, the first Measure R. While this is not required by either policy or law, the CBOC, in partnership with the district, feel that this is something that should be done to conclude the bond. There had been many changes in committee members, vendors, and district staff in the past decade. The CBOC has still not decided on the parameters or the depth of the report at the time of this reporting. While the CBOC would like for it to be very thorough, we're also keeping in mind the price of the financial report. The CBOC has worked with staff to update the bylaws. This helped to assist in recruiting other members. These new bylaws were recently approved by the Board of Education, and as a result to these recent amendments to the bylaws, recruitment has occurred, interviews have been held, and recommendation to fill the two vacant positions will be presented to the board tonight. Upon approval of these two candidates by the governing board, we will now have a full Citizens Bond Oversight Committee. The CBOC has trained to assist, the CBOC had trainings to assist members in becoming more knowledgeable, and this will help the CBOC to better serve our community. In the past year, the CBOC has been trained on construction bidding and the district purchase process. Our chair was able to observe the process of a blind bid. The CBOC now knows that our chair, thanks to our chair, that all warrants are posted on the school district website. Navigating the CalBOC website has been made easier due to the training that Harry Peterson has provided. The committee learned of the capabilities and reporting features of the Colby Financial Reporting System utilized by the district. Based on this information, customized reports are provided regularly to the CBOC. This year, CBOC has attended the 6th annual CalBOC conference in Sacramento. The CBOC was able to meet with different school district staff and bond oversight members. This conference has been beneficial to the continual training and growth of the Roland Unified Citizens Bond Oversight Committee. In speaking to other districts, it was highly refreshing to see that our UST is a cut above for most of the school districts there. The CBOC is not facing nearly as many struggles with bond construction as the other districts in the state are.
So you hear a lot, right? We've done a lot in the past year. Okay, well, I think that's one we have to recommend the board. Since in the past year, we have only 5 members. According to the law requirement, we have the minimum maintenance 7. So I think today there's 2 nominations, so can they approve them, and then we can in compliance. And also, we like to participate. We have annual audit. So before you start audit, we like to be informed, and we like to participate and discuss. And another thing is, usually, sometimes, you know, we have meeting, they have like they provide material, but that's just one day or just on that meeting. So we prefer we get some material before 1 week so we can study and have more when we're during the time have meeting. And also after the meeting, we hope we can postpone that material to the website so we can show our public. I think our job is answer the public and make our job is more transparent. So our conclusion, based on the information provided by CBOC, we think the district is compliant with the requirement of Article 8A, Section 1B3 of the California Constitution. We're done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Sounds like you've been working hard this year.
Anything? Can we say anything?
Can we make comments or ask questions? Angelina?
Thank you. Just first of all, a statement. Thank you all for your hard work and for your support. I know that this isn't an easy task and that you all have a lot of stuff that you have to learn in order to perform your task, and we greatly appreciate the time and the effort that you put in. Natalie, during your report, you talked about a lot of the changes that have occurred over to CBOC this last year. And I'd just like to know, I know it's only 3 of you, 3 committee members here present today. How do you feel about the direction that the CBOC is headed in at this point? As far as are you feeling good about the support that you're getting, the training, and the information that's being provided to you? I know, Wendy, you did say that you'd like to get information a little bit more in advance, but... I just want to know, are you guys feeling like you're on track and that things are going well? And if not, what else we can do to support you?
I've been very happy with the changes and the forward progression of us as a committee in the district and working with the district. Whenever we've had a question, an issue, it's brought to the forefront. We want to see a PO. That PO is pulled. We want to know when a warrant was approved. We can see that on the website. Rosanna McLeod has been wonderful in explaining things. Getting to meet with the contracting managers and asking questions. Well, why is that way? Why did this cost this much? And to have that discussion and realize why things are done. And going to the Sacramento conference, I cannot even express putting our school district next to the other school districts that were there for that conference. Some of them meet once a year, some of them meet twice a year, some of them are finding out things 6 months after the fact. It is always right there. And one of the main things that we have changed is because we meet every other month, the first thing that the construction managers needs to bring us into speed is what was been done, was there any change orders, where are we within the budget, where are we within the timeline, and what are you doing to move things around to accommodate the students. And never have we had... Well, maybe once we've had a we'll get back to you, and then at the very next meeting, the beginning of the meeting, it is there.
It's my personal goal of mine to have more and better training for all the members. So we have, they've been introduced to the California League Bond Oversight Committee, the West Coast Contra Costa County, and we have gone to the annual conference in Sacramento, and they've been introduced to a few other things that are available on the very good, by the way, school website. And I'm pleased that we have better trained and more experienced people. That you know, everybody here has been here for at least a year, or more, or two years. Yeah. So anyway, I guess we will have some new members, but we don't have anybody on the committee right now that's been there for less than a year and hasn't received some training. So.
And we do have the reference material to catch the new.
Well, that's my second term, so I just finished my first 2 years. It looked like just like entry level, like elementary. So that's why I want to get the continuous second year. At least I know a little bit, so I try to save our community. In the past year, 2 years, I think a school, like Alice, they provide something to us. They do very support to us. But for us, at the same time, we have to learn. You know, in the past, we every quarter have meeting. That's too short for us, you know. Three months, like construction, 3 months, they've done a lot of things. So 1 hour meeting, let them absorb everything, that's pretty hard for us. And we are not construction business. So I don't know. So right now, it's 2 months a meeting, that's better. At least we're shorter, we can get more information. So like we said, you know, we prefer get some information in advance. We can study. And during the meeting, we can have some question, can have more productive meeting.
Any
other
more
questions?
I just want to echo what Ms. Pride said, that I've been sitting through many of your meetings, and you're all volunteers, and you stay there late at night, just like we stay here, and I really appreciate that. And I appreciate Harry's baking. He usually has something there for us to eat to keep us going. So thank you, Harry, for your leadership, and thank you for your team members.
Scared to comment?
Actually, Harry, I want to thank you, too, and the rest of the Bond Oversight Committee. I know you spent a lot of time getting things going. How many hours would you say you've spent with Mr. Flores?
Not enough.
According to you.
I know. As a matter of fact, you have said something that, you know, he has other work to do. Bond, they committed themselves to do whatever is necessary.
Yep, and
I do not apologize for that. I might apologize to the public that I haven't pushed harder.
Thank you. I appreciate that you've taken your time and that Alex has taken his time, too, to help the committee move in the right direction.
I'm an ornery old man. Sorry about that.
Yep, you're grouchy tonight. Mr. Chen?
Yeah, I want to say thank you, too, and thank you for your effort. And you are playing a very important role.
Okay.
And we'll see you more often.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
We appreciate your work.
Okay. Sometime people might ask how many hours I spend.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
I can say that to Harry because he's my friend. Next, we're moving on to public comments. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended further or limited by a vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. Dr. Mitchell, do we have some comments? Okay. First, Mr. Humphreys.
Okay, first of all, are we working here? Are we working? Okay. First of all, I can't say enough about Mr. Harry Peterson and his dedication to the Bond Oversight Committee, and also there's significant changes within the district, especially on the education of them. But there's a continuing saga of the Bond Oversight Committee. As you've seen, all these meetings are on my YouTube site if you care to check out anything that I say. And they were approaching near the 21st century status when all five members were present at the last meeting, and the annual report was the topic du jour. And Mr. Bixler over here was doing yeoman's work on the computer. This was a concern. There was a concern about looking good, and I say, just tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That is the duty to the community. Yes, the Nogales multipurpose room is a disaster, and Mr. Flores notes that it was built to spec. And my question is, who got fired? Okay, and where is the money to fix it? And I talked to the principal tonight, and I said, I'm his proponent on getting that done. There was concern about being in compliance as to the number of members, in which the district is clearly not, due to the committee being at the mercy of the district board, Nigro-Nigro audit. Also, Mr. Arnalis stated that the district was in compliance and everything that they had been shown. Clearly not the case, Nigro-Nigro 10% audit issue. Mr. Flores noted that the bylaws were the cure to the membership compliance for the year, and member Zhang, who's, again, they've left already, we will have 7 by June, which is the end of the year. Therefore, we are in compliance at the end of the year. It was also noted that tonight's agenda that there are 2 members to be added to the committee, reaching required by law 7 members. It is important to note that it doesn't matter who that the persons in numbers so forth, but if they're a PhD, Rhodes Scholar, or homeless, it is their performance as part of a team working on behalf and loyalty to the community. As you know, California is replete, and it was expressed by Mr. Peterson, and with districts that utterly fail their communities, i.e. El Monte, who cannot account for $148 million in bond funds. And my question is, who is in jail? And as to the compliance issue and the respect to our community, if a person applies for this bond oversight committee and they are not accepted or they're not chosen, at least they should get a letter of thank you, so forth, like Mr. John Grant, who was even notified that others had been chosen for that particular issue. And so what have we got, 16 seconds here? And obviously, there needs to be a change in management to cure these maladies, okay? You don't pat the person on the back with one hand and pick their pocket with the other, okay? And thank you very much. And again, I can't say enough about the work that the committee has done. So is that my phone?
Oh,
thank you.
Next speaker is Shay Lohman.
Okay, well, good evening, board. So while our campuses may be a bit quieter during the summer months, we know that June is a very busy time at the district office. Over the past few years, the association has become much more confident in the budgets that are adopted in June. Our LCAP continues to reflect our emphasis on our student groups that need that extra bit of attention, and our district vision is reflecting forward-thinking leadership. Much of this change is a direct result of the democratic process. A newly elected school board have put the right leaders in the right place at the district office. And the voters of California have chosen twice to invest in public education with the passage of Prop 30 and Prop 55. Elections do have consequences. And sometimes elections have consequences that we don't like. The 2017 presidential election has the potential to be the most influential event of our lifetime. Speaking as an educator, as a unionist, let me be clear. Donald Trump and his administration want to dismantle public education in the United States. In the April 2017 article in the National Education Association's magazine titled Stormy Weather reads, "A big storm is brewing in Washington, D.C., and it has the potential to level our public schools when it hits our communities. A vortex of for-profit charter schools and vouchers could divert state and federal funding from already strapped public schools, leaving the most vulnerable students with no protection. When public schools are defunded, neighborhood schools close and students lose critical resources. Private schools and for-profit charters have no responsibility to provide the desperately needed services for students with special needs, English language learners, and our students living in poverty. Public schools have always fought for at-risk students. They welcome everyone, not just the most elite. We need them to weather this storm. Here are a few things we can do right now to prepare for this storm. First, educate yourself. Sign up for educationvotes.org to stay informed on political and legislative issues that affect your education. Then register to vote and register your friends to vote. Third, add the numbers of all your elected officials, including school board members, into your phone and call and hold them accountable and thank them when they make good decisions. Attend your local public meetings, city councils, school boards, planning commissions, and consider running for these positions yourself. Finally, talk to your neighbors. Relationships are not only key to a successful organization, but relationships are also the key to a better world to live in. As we find time in the coming weeks to travel or to spend time with our family, and most importantly, reflect and meditate on the work ahead of us, I want to remind us all of the famous words of Dr. King. The ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of challenge and controversy. So with that, have a great summer wherever you're traveling to, but keep those in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Just made it. Next, we have a public hearing. We're going to hold this in pursuant of California Ed Code 35330B3 regarding CDE waiver of education code out of state use of funds and transportation allowance to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the travel of Roland High School students to the FCCLA National Convention Competition in Nashville, Tennessee, on July 2nd through 7th of 2017. I open this public hearing at 8:04 p.m. Are there any public comments? Please step forward if you'd like to comment on this subject. Wish up here at once. Having none, I close the public hearing at 8:04 p.m. Next, we have a public hearing which will be held in accordance with California Government Code 421710 through 421718 to receive comments on the proposed energy conservation services with Climatech LLC. I open the public hearing at 8:04, and anybody that wants to comment can come forward.
I know this is probably a historical first comment from the public here, but in my humble opinion, this would be some of the best spent money that this district can do. We've got to get into the 21st century on the technology end of managing facilities, and this is a super way to go. I'm just assuming that the performance of this organization has been well vetted and be well worth the funds spent. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Humphreys. If there are no other comments, I close the public hearing at 8:05. Next, we have discussion action items. First, the Local Control Accountability Plan, the LCAP, 2017 through 2020. Mrs. Healy? Okay. I just need a motion to approve the 2017 through 20 LCAP for the Roland Unified School District as presented in the public hearing on June 6th of 2017. Can I have a motion?
I make motion. Oh.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on this subject? Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next, we have a motion to receive and adopt the Roland Unified School District budget for the year 2017-18 fiscal year. May I have a motion?
I move.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next, we have the Roland Unified School District 2017-18 district direction and focus areas. May I have a motion to adopt?
Make.
Well, we have an active board tonight making motions and seconding. Keep you awake. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Carrie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Carrie was first. Yeah. Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next, we have the California Department of Education waiver of Education Code 35330B3, out-of-state use of funds and transportation allowance. May I have a motion to approve this waiver with travel to Nashville, Tennessee to attend the FCCLA National Conference on July 1st through 7th of 2017. If approved, the waiver will be in effect from July 1st to June 30th of 2017 to June 30th of 2018 to cover any trips taken throughout the school year. May I have a motion to approve?
I'll move.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next, we need a motion to adopt the 2017-18 RUSD course catalog. May I have a motion?
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
Okay. 2 seconds. Either carry. Any discussion?
I have a question.
Wait, just let me.
Last night, several of us actually were at a Roland Heights Community Coordinating Council meeting where Dr. Scroggin from Mount SAC gave a presentation. And it really brought the attention to me as to how a course catalog really needs to be dynamic. He was talking about how course offerings at Mount SAC has to be reflective of what's available in the community as far as the needs for employment and how they need to change their course catalog to meet the community needs. And if you don't do that, then students won't come to your institution to learn. And they measure their outcome by the number of students that go to a four-year college or that get employment based on their certificate or their degrees. So this course catalog becomes very important, and as Dr. Mitchell mentioned, in the state of the schools, many of the jobs that our elementary school children will be working towards might not even be in existence right now. So it's important that we keep an eye on this catalog and that we update it. And I remember last week we had an environmental course that we added, and those are the jobs of the future. And this doesn't become just an agenda item, but it becomes a very important agenda item for the life of our school district.
Ken?
This catalog only covers secondary, seven.
Fact.
And it's for the primary graders. Do we have the?
So at the primary grades, they don't have a course catalog because
You don't call it.
Well, and it's grade level, so it's first grade, second grade, third grade, et cetera, as you go. And so there are the course subjects that we cover, and then there are the courses. So it's the elementary subjects that are studied are standard, where at the secondary there's more diversity in terms of paths.
Right, I understand. For the primary graders, all the schools are the same. So, but the high schools, they have different. But the reason
we can provide that to the board if that's of interest.
Mm-hmm.
We can put that on the tracking sheet.
Yeah, we can see that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, let's call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next, we need a motion to approve the sponsorship of the Roland Unified School District Educator Preparation Program, General Institutional Preconditions. May I have a motion?
Make a motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Authorization to prevent misassignment. Authorize teaching assignments for identified teachers outside of their credential areas when the appropriate number of units have been completed in the subject area, pursuant to Ed Code Section 44-256B. Excuse me.
Carrie, will you take over as Vice President, please?
Item 7G. Oh, 44865. In the motion?
Second.
Discussion? All favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carry.
Thank you. We have the Roland Unified School District Energy Conservation Program project. As you may remember, at a recent meeting, we were all given three options to consider, and staff is recommending option one. May I have a motion to approve option one related to proposed energy conservation services with Climatech LLC for the Roland Unified School District Energy Conservation Program?
Second.
Discussion? Ms. Friedman?
Yes, I'm in favor of option one because of pressing time, because of our pressing timeline. We will not get the money offered to us by Proposition 39. I do understand all the options, but I do want all the schools to get everything, like the high-efficiency HVAC upgrade or LED lighting upgrades and central plant. In option one only, some schools will be receiving these. I'm also very interested in solar potential savings. After the budget presentation and speaking to staff, we have some regulatory issues that need to be worked out, which will take time. It is important to have clean technology for our students, shade structures, et cetera, so I hope we will move forward in a timely manner. Lastly, I would like to thank the staff for bringing this to us before the deadline. It has been available for 5 years, and happy we can use this grant to improve our energy conservation program. Thank you very much.
I like this option because it's the most cost effective. And just do a little simple math and you can see option two and three, and you won't get so much money back.
Mr. Malcolm?
Yes, I'm in favor of option one. First of all, we need to capture Prop 39 grant monies. And this captures the Prop 39 grant monies, maximizes that. Secondly, when I looked at option two, we're picking up approximately $3 million, a little over $3 million, in net savings. The trouble is that we're expending a little over $2.5 million to get that $3 million. So we're really not picking up as much as it might appear. The other thing is, based on my request last week, where I wanted to know what sites were involved, Mr. Flores provided that, and I see that the HVAC for high efficiencies is at Hurley, Northam, Santana, and Villa Corta, which are some of the schools that we need improvements at more than others. They have swamp coolers there, and they really need some additional improve the environment for learning in those schools. So combination of capturing 39 Prop 39 money or grant and where that money will be going as far as location of schools, I would highly recommend option one.
Thank you. It was very enlightening to the board, too, to hear about, you know, where our needs are. We had an evaluation of a lot of different parameters, so it's really helping us know where we might have to move in the future. So it was very beneficial to me. So let's have a vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried. I think I'm going to make it now. Okay, next we have resolution number 1617, AS02, to make certain findings and approve an agreement for energy conservation services with Climatech LLC for the RUSD energy program. May I have a motion to adopt?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next we have, we need a motion to adopt resolution number AS171801, annual delegation of administrative authority to process routine budget revisions, adjustments, and transfers. May I have a motion?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
I have a motion and second. Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The item is we need a recommendation that the Board of Education review the annual Pointy Hill Special Education Local Plan Area, or SELPA as we know it, agreed upon procedures report submitted by NIGRO and NIGRO PC. May I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Next, we have the Citizen Bond Oversight Committee member appointment. First, we have the business community owner. I need a motion to appoint Jay Chun, business owner, to the CBOC as business community member for a 2-year term in compliance with the CBOC bylaws.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next we have Denise Jackman from the Taxpayers Organization. I need a motion to appoint Denise Jackman to the 2006/12 Citizens Bond Oversight Committee. Can I have a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, next we have the, we need an approval for workers' compensation runoff claims administration agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Keenan and Associates for the term of August 1st, 2017 through June 30th, 2018. May I have a motion?
Make a motion.
I'll second.
Discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Next, I need a motion to approve a contract between Roland Unified School District and Keenan and Associates for property and liability claims administration for the term of July 1st, 2017 through June 30th, 2020. Can I have a motion?
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Next, I need a motion to establish and fund a trust account to pay the district's workers' compensation losses for injuries prior to July 1st, 2017. Can I have a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
Discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next, I need a motion to approve resolution number 1617-AS-04 to join the protected insurance program for schools and community colleges and authorize Alex Flores to execute the PIP-JPA agreement and bylaws. Motion?
I'll move.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I just want to say that I was just doing some reading on the PIPs, and I have to say that I think it's a great way to go. I think it's going to save the district a lot of money, and commend whoever came up with the idea of doing this.
I sat in on the committee when they were having the interviews, and it was very interesting to hear what they do and how they do it. So I think it's also a good move, in my opinion, too. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next, I need a motion to approve and establish a fund and fund a trust account to pay the district's property and liability losses with the district's self-insured retention. Can I have a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
Any discussion on this one? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next is a resolution item. I'd like a motion to approve resolution number 1617-AS-03 to join the Southern California Regional Liability Excess Fund Joint Powers Authority and authorize Alex Flores to execute the Southern California Relief, R-E-L-I-E-F, agreement and bylaws and authorize him to be the district representatives on the SCR board. Can I have a motion?
Second.
Discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next item is number 8A. It's regarding RUSD student number 161712, stipulated expulsion. This item is presented to the board to amend the action taken on June 6th of 2017 due to errors in the printed board agenda regarding the type of expulsion and the placement for the student. This evening, the board is being asked to take action to correct the record for student number 16-1712. May I have a motion?
Oops, sorry.
Well, let me just read the whole thing. We've got to get this right.
I'm so sorry.
A motion to amend the action taken by the board on June 6th of 2017 to read the stipulated expulsion of the student number 16-1712 effective June 7th of 2017 with referral to a county or alternate school outside of the district for placement in an educational program. Parents have waived the due process of procedures as approved by the board.
I move now.
Second.
Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We move to the consent calendar. We have one item that was pulled and will not be included in the discussion. 9B3. So that will not be included in the consent calendar. Also, there are three actions. Sorry, I lost my place in this voluminous agenda. Okay. Regarding the consent calendar. Notice that all matters listed under consent calendar are considered by the Board of Education to be routine or sufficiently supported by prior or accompanying reference materials and information not requiring additional discussion. They will be enacted by a motion as referenced below. There will be no separate discussion of these items prior to the time the Board of Education votes on the motion, unless members of the board, staff, or public request specific items to be discussed, added to, or deleted from the consent calendar for separate action. Members of the public may request that a specific item be moved from the consent calendar by completing the written request to address the board form card and presenting it to the secretary of the board in accordance with board bylaw 9320. All consent items are indicated by a designation of C item title. Before taking final action on an employment agreement for a local agency executive or a salary or benefit increase for a current local agency executive, the board must state in public session this. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54, 549-53, Subdivision C3, the board provides this oral summary of the salary and or fringe benefit increase recommendations for the following local agency executives. First is Assistant Superintendent of Human Resources, Mr. Dennis Bixler. Term of the contract, July 1st of 2017 through June 30th of 2021. Annual salary effective July 1st of 2017, $184,566. Elements of compensation include reimbursement for actual and necessary expenses, including cell phone, incurred by him within the scope of employment. Second is for Assistant Superintendent of Administrative Services, Mr. Alejandro Flores. So used to calling him Alex. The term of the contract is from July 1st of 2017 through June 30th of 2021. Annual salary effective July 1st of 2017 is $2,001,679. Elements of this compensation include reimbursement for actual and necessary expenses, including cell phone incurred by him within the scope of employment and subject to satisfactory evaluation for immediate preceding year, an annual step advancement of not less than 3%. Next, we have Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Julie Mitchell. The term of contract is from July 1st of 2017 to June 30th of 2021. Annual salary effective July 1st of 2017, $285,367. Elements of compensation include reimbursement for cell phone use, retiree health and welfare benefits after 10 years of service to the district, and longevity increments that are applicable to other management employees, 2.3% at 7, 12, and 17 years with the district. May I have a motion to accept the consent calendar? I'm having trouble with that word. Minus the item that was pulled, item number 9B3. May I have a second?
A second.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Place and get to the right spot. Item number 9B3 is a contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and the University of California. May I have a motion to approve this contract with the term of July 10th through July 14th?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Discussion. Mrs. Pride had pulled this item.
Yeah, I just had a couple of questions. First of all, I think this is a fantastic program, but my main question is, how are the students selected?
Perfect. I'm going to have Sylvia Rivas come to the podium to respond. This opportunity is being managed through her office.
So all the Title I school principals, they selected 10 students. They could select novice students to advanced students. So for instance, at the high school, they focused on some of the advanced students that may be taking AP in the future because they also prepare them for AP classes. And at the elementary schools, they focused on kids that they saw an interest in technology. And so we've had a great response. A lot of our parents are obviously very interested and very happy for this opportunity.
And my other question is, and well, I guess maybe not a question, maybe a statement, more than a question, is I know that a lot of these opportunities come along and they say only Title I schools can participate, but it just seems a bit frustrating as a board member to know that we have students at non-Title I schools who could also benefit from this same program. Is there any opportunity for any of those students at non-Title I schools to participate?
This program specifically, anybody could participate at a higher rate of cost. So for instance, as an independent parent, you could send them. But in terms of the opportunity that was given to us, it was specifically for Title I schools because we're going on a very discounted rate, and their goal is to have underrepresented students at those schools in math and science, especially with the focus on women.
Yeah, so that criteria for the price point for this opportunity in our first time out was for our set by USC for our Title I schools. However, it is an interest and a piece that we're doing in developing partnerships similar to these at Cal Poly Pomona, which may be a little more local, even Mount SAC, to look to our goal is to get our students in onto college campuses, exposed to some of the opportunities. And so this was our first opportunity to be able to do that, where that partnership came together for this summer. And so we're hoping to use this as a model to expand. And that this is funded through Title I. So that is the other. So one, there's a price point cut from USC, mm-hmm. and then it's funded by district Title I dollars. Mm-hmm. But we're hoping to be able to expand it in the future and be able to use this as a model for other local colleges and universities.
Well, I'm appreciative of whoever found this opportunity. It's a great opportunity for the students who will be able to benefit from it, and I look forward to hearing about some other opportunity for some of our non-Title I students. Thank you.
Thank you.
After we try it 1 year and see how well it works for our district. Maybe we can try to get some business partnerships and get some other students some help for them to be able to attend in the future.
Yes, I think after their attendance, you know, this summer, I'm sure we'll be able to ask for more participation and a discount for our other schools.
Very good. Thank you. Now we're on to board member comments. We start with Mr. Chen tonight.
We didn't vote, Lynn.
No. Never mind, Mr. Chen. We We need those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now, Mr. Chin.
I want to share with you what yesterday I was representing the board attending the RHCCC monthly meeting. It's on. It's on now? Okay, yeah. I just want to share the last night I had presenting the board attending RHCCC meeting, the monthly meeting. And there was the election, and RHCCC elected the same board. There's no change. Then it's number one. And in my report, that was a brief report because of lots of tight agenda on the meeting. So my report was very brief. But I asked one of our JADIC teachers, Nancy Buck, and her student, came to the meeting with me and made a report to share what Nancy and her student have done to the community. And what they have done was Nancy asked the students, they were all sixth grade students graduating from JADIC, and they asked the students to choose something to do and they leave the legacy to the school. And this group of students choose a project for the community. And near the school, there was an abandoned Shell station at the corner of Colima and JADIC. And this group of students choose to report to the government agencies because that abandoned former Shell station site was not maintained, and a lot of weeds and trashes growing in the site and make the community look ugly and not healthy. So this group of students wrote letters to the government agencies and the offices, and in several letters got bounced back and they sent it to the wrong offices, and they didn't give up. And finally, the county took their letter and answered them. So they are so happy. And after some efforts, they finally, in Memorial Day, and the Shell station cleaned it and cut off cleaned all of the weeds and the sites look good now. So that was a great achievement showing how much the kids care about the community and the effort that they have done and get paid back. So they report their experience to the community, to the audience. So, and there was, they did a very great job and very good presentation. And three of us were there, the board members were there, and we're very happy about that. So, thank you.
Mrs. Pride?
We had a board meeting last week, and I have no school board activities to state since then. I've just been working, so wishing everyone a wonderful summer. I hope all of you get some time in to get a break and relax and spend time with your family. Enjoy your summer.
Mr. Malkin?
I just want to piggyback on what Mr. Chen was mentioning, that I was there, and you know, we get focused so much on academic achievement and content and getting into college and things like this, but there's a bigger picture in one's growth, and that's social responsibility. Being responsible for, you know, your community, being responsible for our planet and for our environment. And sometimes that's overlooked, the importance of that, which I think in many ways can be even more important because it shows that the individual feeling of responsibility goes beyond just himself but to a larger community. And I want to commend Nancy Buck. I think she was the teacher that was involved. She was there last night. And the students were taking this on as a subject matter I mean, they identified an issue that they did not like in their community. They found out what bureaucracy was by trying to get it corrected and having letters bounce back to them because it wasn't going to the right channels or the owner wasn't living in the community or whatever. But they were persistent, and they kept going after it. And because of their tenacity, they were able to get the problem resolved. And they had photographs of before and after. And they took pride in it. And there's nothing more than you could want than to have a student take pride in his community. You know, we drive around, we see graffiti, and we wonder, you know, why do these kids do this? And here we have kids in our district taking pride in their community to make it better. And I think for taking that extra effort for being responsible for their community, they're to be commended. And I'm so happy to say that Jellic is in our school district.
Thank you. Ms. Friedman?
Thank you, you guys, for sticking it out tonight. You'd think in 1 week I wouldn't have anything to say since the last board meeting, but that's not the case. What I want to do is we approved several things on the consent calendar, and I just want to mention five of them. The contract with News ELA, which is an outstanding program. I used it when I was a teacher. Students can pick different subjects and just read stories, nonfiction articles related to the subjects. Another one was contract with Renaissance Learning, which is a great assessment. The STAR reading and STAR math, early literacy, and AR reading quizzes are at different levels. The report show progress, or if there is a need, to be addressed for students in the class individually and as a class. We also approved an affiliation agreement with Claremont Graduate University. Students will work under the guidance of select master teachers. Their experiences will be in teaching, philosophy, and counseling. This is excellent, helping our students with counseling needs. We approved so many different things and wonder if they work. Well, I would like to mention just two more that have been proven to work, outstanding programs. We did a contractor agreement with Ingenuity Incorporated, what used to be called Compass Learning. I saw this in the classrooms, and the students were engaged working on the computer at their own personal level. This was on 9 campuses last school year, and the students showed great progress in growth. I am sure it will continue. Primarily, it was used for after-school interventions, but teachers were trained and used this in their classrooms, which was great for many more students. I do hope we can expand this program to other campuses at Roland. It has proven to be very beneficial for our students. And the last one was contract with NCS Pearson Incorporated. Giano piloted this program. I saw it in action at Giano. This supports the ELL strategies and content to support English language development. Students enrolled in this program showed a 2.2-year reading gain. Wow, that's great. What great progress. So many wonderful things are happening at Roland Unified School District. Lastly, I received my master's in governance, so did David, on Saturday. It has taught me many things to be a better board member. The first assignment was to make a tweet for your school district, 144 characters. I'm very wordy, and it's really hard. I didn't share, but I did write something. Roland SD is outstanding. We have programs for all students, great staff, transparent, high standards, welcoming to community and their input. That was hard to come up with. Then we had to role play. I went way out of my box because I was a community member / teacher, and I had to say, don't forget, your kid is in my classroom, and my salary determines how effective I am as a teacher. We got our point across, but it was teachers trying to get more money. A quote that they shared with us I wanted to just share. It's by Albert Einstein. Setting an example is not the main means of influencing another. It is the only means. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Friedman. I'll make my comments short tonight so everybody can go home, as we're down to mostly staff, it looks like. I was really impressed by the report by the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee tonight. I thought they did a very good job. They did a thorough job. They touched all kinds of areas. For the few of you who are here, I want to say that I'm really glad that they touched on the change orders, because Mr. Flores will tell you, every time there was a change order, I think I was in his office or calling him, because we were so disappointed in those change orders. But, you know, after you get new administrative staff and a project has been started and they get into a wall with termites, something of that nature, there's going to be a change order. They can't help that. They didn't do those plans. They didn't authorize those plans. And I think you'll see a difference in the next set of the construction work that's being done at Roland High School. They spent a lot of time trying to go over every single step, every single thing, so that they hopefully will prevent that. We expect change orders, but we don't want to have Roland known as a district that has as many change orders as we had at Nogales. So I'm hoping to hear a report next year and the year after from the Bond Oversight Committee that it was much smoother sailing. But I'm going to tell Alex, I do want to thank him for the work, because I know he spent a lot of time with the committee, because they were new. Everybody was feeling their way. They took some guidance, and he was there to help Mr. Peterson answer his questions and try to get the committee going. Mr. Peterson did a really good job with his report tonight and leading the group, and he was very interested in making the group do a better job. So I think our hats should be off to the work they did. Thank you for tonight. Last of three board meetings, 3 weeks in a row, so I'm relieved. I'm sure staff is. So could I have a motion to adjourn? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned at 8:46.